Jesus saw in them the potential. Jesus could see the light. I also think that Jesus was thinking about the passage from Isaiah, where the prophet proclaims Israel will be the light of all nations. It is written, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Jesus could very well have spoken these words himself as he encountered his disciples. I is Jesus, you are the disciples. One of my favorite stories is about a remarkable young man who had been left blind in both eyes by a childhood accident. In the 19th century France, when this young man lived, blind children had little help and few hope. But then a kind priest, Father Jacques Poulain, took an interest in this lad. He was amazed by the boy's intelligence and eagerness to learn. With his parents' permission, Father Poulain enrolled the boy in the Royal Institute of Blind Youth in Paris. Thrust into a new and frightening environment, the boy was lonely and depressed. In time, however, he found friendship and encouragement. Unfortunately, he was frustrated by the institute's lack of books in raised print. Originally, books for the blind were printed so that the letters had little dimples so you would follow the letters as it was written. But he found these symbols and raised prints confusing. So he set out at 12 years of age to develop a better system. After 3 years, he perfected the method, but he encountered indifference and hostility when he tried to convince the world that his system was better. Even with the support of the institute's director, he was told again and again that he was too young to have created a workable alphabet for the blind. Years passed. The young man grew older, was made a teacher at the institute, and became a fine organist, always hoping that his method would find acceptance. But his health was frail. It was not until he laid in bed, dying of tuberculosis, that he was told that the first steps were being taken to popularize his system. Though he did not live to witness it, Louis Braille's alphabet became the universal method of reading for the blind. His courage and hunger for knowledge enabled him to triumph over the disability and disease, and open new worlds to future generations. Now libraries are full of books in Braille, opening the windows to the world, to the blind, to new places and new ideas, new adventures that never before they could find. Now Jesus calls us to be a light, not just to the blind, but to the spiritually blind, because we know the truth. Blind to knowing that there is God who loves them as they are, they need to hear that truth, that they are loved, no strings attached. Blind, trapped in a world darkened by the fear of death, people who struggle to find purpose and direction in their lives. Oh, I had another story as an example. It's a good old hunting story that is of my own experience. I was the guy who got lost no matter where I had to go. Dad would always give me directions, and you know, they're kind of like some of the directions I used to get here when I first moved here. You go to the oak tree, turn left, and there's a big laurel, a bunch of laurel there. Don't go there, but turn back and go around, whatever. But I was especially vulnerable to coming into my tree stand in the mornings. In the dark, I would trample through the woods, anxious to get in that stand before that big buck came around, trampling through the leaves and stems and stuff, probably scaring away every deer within 5 miles. And finally, I would just give up. I would sit down by a tree and wait for the sun to come up. And of course, I would look up and there's my tree standing right by me. When you are used to the light and have to find your way through the dark, you begin to appreciate what a life is in the darkness. There was one evening that I was up in the furthest tree stand from Granny Dutton's house, is where we hunted from our lodge. So I was sitting there, been a long afternoon, not much action, and suddenly, right at about dusk, what my dad called the witching hour for the deer movements, I heard that twig crack. Little brush of leaves. It's always something subtle. And I began to have wild imaginations of that 10-point monster buck stepping right in front of me. So I waited, listening. And finally, everything around me fell silent. And I didn't realize that I was in the dark. And it was getting cold. So I climbed out of my stand, and I started heading the direction I thought Granny Dunn's house was. But you know, in the dark, especially the woods that are full of laurel, a bunch of brush, everything looks the same. So I trampled and I trampled and trampled, and so I started going faster. Like, that really helps. Finally, I get to a point where I just lay, sit by a tree, out of breath, and waiting. I couldn't tell which direction was north or south or east or west. That's when the fear began to set in. What if I got stuck out here in the woods? Well, you know, Dad eventually would come and get me. But it was a fear of not knowing where I am or where I was going. And then while I was sitting there, a little twinkle of light caught me in the side of my eye. And I looked, and I could see this little bitty twinkle of light up on top of the ridge. And I knew exactly what that was. You see, Granny Dutton had put up a telephone pole with a floodlight that ran, turned on at dusk and turned off in the morning. And I knew how to find that light. So I kind of worked my way through the woods with my little flashlight, all going towards that light. And finally, I found myself home. It's hard to appreciate the wonder of light unless you experience the fear of darkness. It is also difficult to appreciate what it means to be a light to the world unless we are conscious of how many people around us are living in worlds darkened by sin and illness, abuse, addiction, loneliness, and the looming fear of death. Ernest Hemingway once wrote, paraphrasing a line from Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar, "A coward dies 1,000 deaths." I would add that anyone who lives a life of fear also dies 1,000 deaths. You are the light of the world. You don't have to do anything to be that light. You're already that light, baptized, touched by the Holy Spirit. Christ is a part of you, and you are not the light so much. You are a reflection of the light that is in Christ. So don't hold back. Let that light shine. Let someone know that they have value and are loved. Point them in the direction to a place where that light shines, especially on Sunday mornings, in the proclamation of God's word, the observance of the sacraments, and the fellowship of believers. Jesus needs us. Don't let him down.